What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor, the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app, Android. We recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. That's where you get to look at us. I don't know if that's such a good thing. If you're Apple, Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord server. That's where you can escape from Twitter, communicate with other Heat fans and us all day long. You can even tag us on there. We'll respond eventually. Check it out. Link is right here in the description. On the podcast feed, also on the YouTube channel, and pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. If you want to find all your Heat content in one place, check out Autograph. This is where you can follow during the offseason. Everything is organized. If you're a fan of a different team, you can find that team there as well. Check it out. It's where real fans get unreal rewards. What we mean by that is they occasionally do drops on there. Great prices on jerseys, tickets, and memorabilia, and more. So check it out. It's Autograph. Go to Autograph app, wherever you download your apps, or autograph.io. Make sure you use the code 5. That's F-I-V-E. That'll get you right to the right place. So check it out. Again, it's the Autograph app where real fans get unreal rewards in season or out. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscay. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got a all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pat we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. And today, for a change, we're going to talk about something other than Jimmy Butler. Check out the last two episodes that we did about Jimmy Butler's situation. First, Brady, myself, and Alex from the arena. And then Greg and I kind of moving it forward yesterday, where we got into where this may ultimately lead, where it may play out. We also covered that on Playback today. Make sure you're subscribed there to the Playback app. You can find our room there, the Five Reasons Sports Room, or just go to playback.tv/5RSN. We're also going to be doing EuroLeague games on there, and we did a Panthers breakdown day after, so we're expanding the coverage on there. All right, so Alex, we're going to talk about Tyler Hero today. This was the other thing. This was kind of, I don't want to call it the undercard or whatever. This was sort of the other thing that was said that got attention from Pat Riley at the press conference. So much of it was about Jimmy and availability, but of course you can't get past Tyler's availability. And Pat said it flat out. He says he played 40 games. Jimmy played 60 games, although the difference this year was Jimmy got hurt for the playoffs and Tyler didn't. So Tyler was available for the playoffs. And last year, when Tyler was out and Jimmy was healthy, they made a run to the finals. And this year, this is not all Tyler's fault, but they were overmatched. And he was overmatched, except for one brilliant game he played. And I asked him about that game. afterwards because Eric Spoelstra said it was his best playmaking game ever. In fact, the Heat wanted that out there, so they put that on their social media accounts, that clip of Spo saying that to Tyler, which we don't usually see them show a lot of clips of Spo talking to players. It's kind of rare. It's not like what the Dolphins do with Mike McDaniel. And when I asked Tyler, he was kind of like, well, if he says so. I mean, so it wasn't like, yes, that is better than any game I've ever played before or whatever. The problem was there was only one of those. And Pat talked about Pat and Spo both talked about the difficulties of getting schemed against. He's never really been guarded that way before with all the attention on him. I guess, Alex, the good news is that a team regarded him highly enough to guard him that way. The bad news is that this team is in a little bit of transition turmoil in terms of its roster right now. And especially with the Butler situation going on, Hero becomes the lightning rod again going into another summer. I'll start here. What did you think of Pat's comments, particularly the one I'm him referencing him as fragile, which is a really loaded word, a word that we've avoided using.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And he used it flat out. But then he backtracked and talked about how hard Tyler works, which, again, I don't think anybody has ever disputed that. What did you think of it?
I was definitely surprised. Right. And we mentioned that briefly on the podcast we did afterwards. But I was, you know, between that and of course, the keep your mouth shut stuff. Those are probably the two like most memorable lines, or I guess most shocking that you just weren't expecting to hear. And yeah, like you said, fragile is a very loaded word because we all understand what he's saying, right? Like Tyler has missed a lot of time throughout the years. And, you know, this year just so happened to be the one time that he was the one that was healthy for the playoffs and not the other way around. But he did miss a ton of games in the regular season, just as he missed time in the past. So that part is understandable. Like, you know, saying that he's got to be more available, that is objectively true. You know, injuries suck, but you need more from Tyler. You need him to play more games. I don't disagree with that sentiment. It's just the word fragile, right? And this is, you know, this comes down to a semantics conversation because maybe it's not exactly what it means, but the connotation is like soft, right? I don't know. And I feel like that's not something that an athlete wants to be called ever, especially not somebody who has been kind of, you know, cited as somebody who is one of their franchise players or part of their core, maybe. I don't know if they've ever called them a franchise player exactly. But
well, they have referenced him kind of as part of a big three, as sort of, right?
Part of their core. Yeah, they've kind core, of like, yeah. I don't think they've ever really said, you know, like that he's quite on the same level. But regardless, you don't want to hear that whether you're part of the core, whether you're not in the rotation, regardless, you don't want to hear that at all. So hearing fragile was very surprising. He's usually like, I feel better at not quite being so raw. Right. I feel like this season was, I mean, this press conference was kind of different than other seasons in that way, where it's like I don't think he uses that word in the past. I think, you know, he's kind of fed up with it because of the way that this season transpired, the way that things ended. And it was just so obviously like availability was a huge part of where things went wrong. And it's just like hard to not go back to it. It feels like that's kind of where Pat's head was at. But it's like when he was talking about him, that was easily like the number one most noteworthy thing he said, right? Because it was shocking. But then it was just funny listening to him, you know, talk up how he's a hard worker and all that, you know, he was stronger last season, but maybe there has to be something that changes with the calorie intake because we need him to keep that weight on. And I happen to agree there, right? Like, I think Tyler is somebody who we talked about for years now, needs to get a little bit stronger. And again, a guy who showed improvement on the defensive end this season and, you know, kind of being in the right spot a lot of times. And then in the playoffs, again, when it mattered most, he was still able to get hunted. So I think that's something that, you know, putting on a little bit more strength and not making it quite as easy for kind of bigger wings to just kind of plow right through you. I get where he's coming from. And so I think he was trying to balance, like, not hyping him up, but, you know, talking nicely about him and being honest about what he needs to be better at. I think fragile was probably not the right word to use there, though.
Yeah, I don't know if he would say that again if he had another opportunity on that. I'll say this, and then we'll get to the question that I asked specifically about Tyler because he had a different answer related to that. He kind of defended Tyler on that.
Maybe one day he'll surprise us to play every game.
Right. Well, he did say that. I'll say this. It was a definite change in tone and a surprising change in tone if you compare it not just the Pat's presser last year, in which I felt like he was trying to kind of prime Tyler as an asset, where he talked him up almost too much. Like, this one was the other direction. But then also, I'm, you know, pretty aware of the way that Heat officials in the front office, of which I would assume Pat is one, were not happy about the characterizations of Tyler in the offseason last year, that they didn't like the fact that the national media, particularly the Boston-based media, et cetera. I mean, I had many say this to me. Why do they think Tyler's not a good player? Why do they keep talking about Tyler like he's not a good player? I mean, this all plays into the whole Joe Cronin thing. And obviously Woj was doing, quote, Cronin's bidding. And I understand why Portland might not have wanted Tyler as a player, because they have Anfernee Simons, who's a very similar player, and they've got him on a contract as well. And they had a lot of small guards and all the rest of it. But again, they could have taken Tyler and moved him somewhere else. And there was interest from other teams. I know for sure that Brooklyn has had consistent interest in Tyler, and there were other teams out there that did. There were some ridiculous reports, like, you know, a report, I'm not going to mention the name because I think he's a good reporter, but I think he got duped on this. There was a report that, like, the Heat would need to attach an asset to Tyler to move him to the Nets. And that was never true. Okay. So, and the Heat were annoyed about all this stuff. And then Pat comes out and calls him fragile, which is literally worse than anything that any of these other people said last offseason. And that just hit different. Like, it hit like, okay, wait a second. Like, I mean, we've talked so much about how the third guys who everybody calls about, the third guys typically who Pat trades and has historically, whether it's Eddie Jones or Jamal Mashburn, to kind of keep builds going or kind of change a build. And then he calls him fragile, which is, I mean, there's no other way. You can't, there's no other way to like diminish your asset more than that. I mean, if we're going to talk about players than an asset characterization. So that was odd. The other question, which when I asked about Tyler, and then we'll get to some of Tyler's stats. And then we're going to go through an exercise here, which I think is instructive. As I asked him about Udonis's comments, and we talked about this on the podcast the other day briefly, but I asked about Udonis's comments where Udonis, you know, stepping, I knew they would not like this. Like, everybody's like, you didn't get away with what he wants. No, there's a one voice philosophy with the Heat. He'll learn what Zoe has learned, which is that when you're working for the organization, you don't speak your mind publicly, particularly on ESPN. Which is a network that the Heat don't love very much. And so, you know, UD is out there and he's saying, you know, basically that we're, you know, our team is better when Tyler's a sixth man, which when I asked this to Pat, he of course says, well, I know that narrative is out there, right? It is the narrative. Like, it's the number one hero narrative. It's above the fragility thing, if we want to reference Pat's term. And you know, UD kind of threw it under the bus there, and clearly Pat was not happy about it. And Pat was very clear, he's a starter. So it felt like, especially because that was the last question of the press conference, as it turned out, because Pat went into like a monologue again afterwards about how he took the last loss and more stuff about UD, kind of pivoted away from Tyler. But it did seem like, okay, that was Pat's recognition in real time. Like, all right, I need to defend my guy now because I just threw him under the bus. I mean, fragile is throwing him under the bus. It just is. Again, we've never said that on this podcast at all. And even, you know, basically,
I don't think he meant to throw him under the bus, though. I just think he picked the wrong word. And it's like, he
but then he said it again, though. But then he said it again. He said, well, he played four. Like, somebody else asked about Tyler in between the two questions, that one and mine. And his first response, his like guttural, like visceral response was, well, he played 40 games, which just like reinforces
it was almost what he like said stopping, about
fragility
right?
before
him. Yeah. Like, it was like, I don't want to completely characterize it that way, but I feel like it was kind of like in that manner where like, he was scoffing almost at like, well, he only played that many games. That's kind of like how it came off, at least. Do you disagree? Right.
No, I totally agree with you. I feel like with Riley, what you tend to get is particularly when he's in one of these you know, free-flowing moments, okay, is that, and he's sparring a little bit with reporters he knows, which is part of it also, right? Is that his first response is his real response. Like, that is his gut response. And then it's like, okay, wait a second. Okay, and then it's team president takes over, and I can't, like, destroy this player or that player because ultimately, you know, there may be conversations this summer. And so that's what that felt like to me. And in the same way that I've said, I don't know that he necessarily meant to go in on Jimmy quite the way that he did. I don't know necessarily that if he could do it again, and I can't speak for him, but I would guess that probably calling him fragile wasn't ideal. And look, we know also that Tyler pays attention to a lot of this stuff, as many players do. And if I heard that about myself from my employer, I would probably not be thrilled about it. I mean, it's just understand because he is in the swirl, and it's like Pat basically sounded like a Twitter user. Right? He
completely added fuel to the fire, and it just wasn't necessary, in my opinion.
And the only reason it hasn't gotten more attention was the Jimmy stuff. Like, otherwise, we would have
been our third podcast about Tyler.
Instead, we did three Jimmy episodes or whatever, because, like, okay, it's Jimmy, and this is the Jimmy build. But yes, we would. So I was like, okay, at some point, we need to touch on this. I want to get to the other side of this podcast, though, because I want to do a couple of exercises. First, I want to go through Tyler's numbers, because when he was on the floor this year, his numbers were actually better than the year before. I mean, there has been steady improvement there. Nobody wants to acknowledge any of that, but we'll touch on it. And also, I'm going to ask you a question so you have time to think about it. How many teams in the league would Tyler Hero currently start for? Before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. That's Prize Picks. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get your initial deposit matched up to $100. Legal again in the state of Florida. Get your initial deposit matched up to $100. You can play their new game. It's setting a lineup. It's called their arena game. Up to four players you can play. Soon there'll be more, but for right now, up to four players, and you can pair them across different sports just as you have been doing. NBA, NFL, MLS, MLB, PGA, and it's all there. Okay, all of it. NHL as well. Play the Panthers players if you want to, although I don't know if you want to if they're only going to score one goal like they did the other night. But check it out, prizepicks.com. Use the code FIVE. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the weighted handle, I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let me just go through some raw numbers here, okay? I mean, this is not heavy analytics, all right? But Tyler Hero this year, he played 42 games, so a little unfair to say 40. He played 42 regular season games. Minute count was roughly what it's been. It was 33, then 35. This year was 33 and a half. He shot 44.1% from the floor overall. Last year, it was 43.9. The year before, it was 44.7. I think we found his level, which is about 44%, which is his career number. He was right there. Shot attempts, 17 and a half. His average in his career is 15.1, but he was 17 shots 2 years earlier when he won Sixth Man of the Year. So it's not like that's gone up a whole lot. 3-point percentage, 39.6%. That's the second best of his career, up from the year before, 37.8. The year before that was 39.9. His career is 38.5. I think we found his level, which is actually a very good level. 7.9 attempts this year, just under the 8 attempts from the year before. So basically the same. Two-point percentage was down a little bit, not too much. Free throw percentage was down a little bit. I think the issue there is that the free throw attempts did not go up. They just went from 2.7 to 2.6. I guess maybe he made light of that in an IG story recently about getting to the line more often. That did not happen this year, though. He's basically the same per minute or a little bit below what he's been. Rebounding 5.3 from 5.4 the year before, from 5 the year before, from 5 the year before. So again, career average 4.9. He's found his level. Assists 4.5. That was a career high. That raised his career up to 3.6. Turnovers were actually down from the previous 2 years. Fouls were the same. Steals were the same. Blocks were the same. Points essentially the same. 20.8 after 20.1 and 20.7. The stats suggest, Alex, the raw stats, the averages, he's basically the same player or slightly better offensively than he's been the past two seasons. So how do we read that? Has he maxed out? Is this it now? Like, this is it? And it's a good level, but I mean, is this it? Or is there another rung up? Because the numbers would suggest he hasn't gotten worse, but he hasn't gotten significantly better, at least by what the stats show.
I mean, I think you could make a case that this is it in the sense of, like, his skill set, right? Like, I don't think he's going to magically turn into a rim pressure guy who's getting to the rim and the free throw line at will. Like, I don't know that that's something he can add. Like, yeah, he can get stronger and that can help for sure. And, you know, that's one of the other things that was mentioned when Pat was talking about his weight. It was not only just, like, the defensive end. He was more actually emphasizing the offensive end and the way that the Celtics were kind of just being physical with him. Right. It's not just being able to defend because you're not strong enough. It's, you know, them out physically you, right? And kind of taking you out of your game. So I think him getting stronger can help. I don't know how much weight he can add, realistically, as you know, as far as like the way his build is and his skill set goes. But other than that, like, I do think he showed some improvement as a playmaker. And then you look at some of the numbers, he had a career high assist percentage and a career low turnover percentage, despite a pretty significantly higher usage percentage. So you give him credit there for sure. You give him credit for the defensive improvement, like I mentioned earlier, where he's able to, you know, he's just like in the right spot more often than not. I think he was kind of active with his hands this year, even though the steals percentage is his. He actually has almost the exact same steals percentage in every season in his career, funny enough, where it's 1.1. 4 out of 5 years, and the only one that was different was 1.0. So that never goes up, but it did feel like, just from a technical standpoint, he was in the right spot more often than not, which is a good thing. But again, like, the weaknesses are still the weaknesses. The stuff where it wasn't good, and you referenced the two-point percentage being a little bit lower, that was because of what he shot at the rim, because he actually shot a career high in the mid-range, not by a huge margin, but it was technically a career high at 46%. At the rim, though, he shot below 53%, which is in the 6th percentile. And that was actually better than what it was to start the season, because I remember that was hanging in the 40s. The rim, the percentage at the rim within 5 feet, according to dunksandthrees.com, was in the 40s for, like, that first half of the whole season. But 53% is not much better. Like I said, 6th percentile, it's not good enough. I don't expect him to become an amazing finisher, but the other years, he was around 58, he was at 59, 62. He can be better than this. I think that can go back up. You know, I appreciate the playmaking and the defense, you know, the marginal improvements there. I think he can become a better version of himself. I don't think the rim stuff is gonna show up. I just think, you know, as a guy gets older, they polish their game, they get better at, you know, picking their spots. And I think we've seen that too. Like, he was willing to play more off ball this season at times. It wasn't consistent, right, because of their three different offensive philosophies. Mm-hmm. Or whatever
those were, which we've tried to discuss, but yeah,
like, it was a mess all season. There was never any consistency with the lineups. I get it, right? But I give him credit there. I just don't expect another huge leap. I think he can just keep getting better at what he's good at already.
Well, I kind of feel like the presser was basically an acknowledgement that, okay, the player is the player at this point, and the work has to be about being that player more frequently. Like, that's what that felt like. Like, I don't get the sense from the Heat and from Riley's presser or even Spo's or anything else that they expect a huge leap. I think, again, it comes down to the physical limitations. I think they just, again, if he's going to be here, they just would like him to be on the floor more often to at least get that player so that they can see how it fits.
But can I read a couple of quotes?
Yeah, go with a couple of quotes, and then I want to get to this exercise here because we're going to have to do that one rapid fire.
Yeah. He said he's a shot taker and maker. We have to do more to give him that kind of space, but he has to do more to be able to deal with a defense that is committed to stopping you. He did mention that. That also has
to do with
Spo the
way. Or was that Pat? I can't remember.
That was Pat. That okay. was Pat. And then the other thing where, like, he's talking about the narrative, right, when he responded to your question. I also thought it was interesting that, like, he immediately called Tyler a starter for sure. He kind of just laughed at the idea that Tyler's not a starter. And I don't really particularly disagree. I think we've all kind of come to the conclusion that maybe he is best as a six man. I don't disagree at all that he's a starter level player. I think he's a very good player who could start on other teams, and we'll get into that, right? But it depends on the team. But the other thing that I wanted to mention was just the idea that maybe it would be Terry coming off the bench. He's like, oh, that's, you know, where a coach has a job to do. But he kind of threw that in there. He's like, maybe Pat does feel that one of them, not specifically one or the other, but one of them might have to go to the bench.
Which is an interesting thing when you
feel that way too.
Well, we talked about that. We never got to see the two of them together enough. They would play together a lot anyway if they were both here. But you gave up a first round pick and an expiring contract for what, a six man? Like, I kind of feel like they're going to at least want to go into the season next year if both are here, seeing if Rozier can be that player as a starter. And right now, the man's in the neck brace. So I you know, it's hard to really evaluate where they're going. All right, we're going to do this one rapid fire here. Okay, so not even a sentence of comments. I'm going to go to you, then I'm going to do mine. Okay, I got the teams. Okay, you ready? So this is just the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay, we have to at least identify who the two guard starter is. So we'll do that before we go, because there's some teams it's a little bit murky. All right, so let's start here. Celtics, Derek White.
Nope.
Knicks, Dante DiVincenzo. I say yes, but fit on the Knicks.
I think he could have been a starter before they got Dante. Now it's like, that's it. He's been so good for them, Dante has. So I'm going to say no, just for like the way as it stands right now.
Bucks, Malik Beasley, yes, right?
Absolutely. He'd be a starter on that team, whether you're talking about Beasley or Pat Bev.
Okay. Cavs, Mitchell, no.
No.
Magic, who is there too now? Is it technically Suggs? Is Cole Anthony's coming off the bench?
I feel like they've gone back and forth. They had Gary Harris starting too. I think he could start there.
Well, if it's Gary Harris, he's Tyler's a better player than Gary Harris.
I mean, they also need shooting badly. I think Tyler will probably start there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Pacers right now, their two guard is
Nesmith. Is he their two guard?
I guess. Well, Mathurin's out for the season, right? He was more of a three anyway. I think he'd start with Pacers, right? They traded Buddy Hield. Correct?
He might start with the Pacers. I think we can put them on there.
Okay. Sixers. If we're saying that Maxey's the two, then no. But
Maxey's really a one, though.
Right. But Kyle was starting with him in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they weren't starting Buddy Hield.
Right.
I mean, again, I'd be able to put them there, low-key.
Would Tyler start over Kyle? I think so. Although,
yeah.
again, fit-wise, it comes kind of the question. All right. Bulls. Well, a little complicated, right? Because LaVine was the starter.
Yeah.
Although actually, they sized down, and they had DeRozan a lot of times as the four and Zach as the three. I guess, was Io starting by the end of the year or no?
I think so, Kobe. Yeah.
In which case, Kobe White's the two.
Well, I think Kobe is a one, and Io is probably a two, because he's got more size. But
so we would say he would start there, probably. Although if LaVine comes back and they don't trade him, then no. Again, this exercise is
based on
the current roster, so it's a little tough. The Hawks, who's their two? I don't even know. Is it Young or Gary? Then the answer is no, right?
No.
Okay. Nets, is Cam Thomas their starter now? I guess. They like Tyler. They've always liked Tyler.
I think we could start there. I think we could put the Nets there.
I would agree. Raptors.
If they really wanted to, they could start him and Cam together.
They could, actually. They could.
I don't know if that's the best idea, but they could.
They could. The Raptors, right now, I guess, was Gary Trent Jr. Was he starting? But they, I mean, their roster was ravaged. He'd start there, right?
He'd start, probably.
Okay. Well, actually, hold on. Where's okay, Brady Dick? Got quick. They've got no. Well, I think he's better than Brady Dick. You've got who else is? Well, you got Barrett and you've got Quickly, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we got to you got to think about it from. I mean, you could
and
you
Scotty could put, Scotty's at the three, right? If everybody's healthy,
I think Scotty's more of a four in today's okay. NBA with the size. I don't know, but I think you could if you put RJ at the three, and I don't think that's that crazy. I think he could start over Gary Trent. If you're saying, I don't know if he would start over RJ, but just because they're already like in that boat, but I think you could play them together.
He's more versatile as a scorer than Gary Trent. But again, Gary Trent fills a role that we talk about Tyler filling sometimes that Tyler could fill, but it doesn't seem to be the role he necessarily wants to fill, right? Which is more off the ball, spotting up, running around screens, that kind of stuff. Okay. Hornets.
Probably not.
They traded for Mann, right? He was playing quite a bit. Brandon Miller's not a two, though.
That's true. Right? You can play him as a three, yeah. I mean.
And then LaMelo. I mean, he would start him. Charlotte.
You can start him.
Okay. The Wizards, I'm just going to say he'll start. I'm not going to.
I mean, yeah, Jordan Poole's not starting.
Right. Well, I still believe Tyler's better than Jordan Poole.
Me too.
Yeah, okay. All right, Detroit. What position is Cade starting at? They're such a mess.
I think the one. I think they count him as a one. I'm trying to see.
I kind of feel like if they had Tyler Hero, they would find a way to start him, right? Like the pieces around him.
It's a little different.
He'd be their second leading scorer, probably, right? Or maybe co-leading scorer.
Probably, yeah. But it's just a little tougher with them because it's such a young team. Like they might just want to start like the guys that they just drafted, whether it's Asar or Jaden Ivey. But if you're talking about who is the best player out of those guys right now, it's Tyler.
Right.
Tyler could theoretically start for them.
All right. So it's about half the teams in the East, we're saying, right? About half, roughly. All right. Let's go out West. Thunder. Is Dort the starter now?
Giddy.
Okay. He's probably not starting with that mix, right?
If I had to guess, I would probably say no, but you can make a case.
Okay.
I don't think he fits with what they're trying to do on defense because they already have a lot to make up for size-wise. I don't think Tyler would help there.
Nuggets, I'm going to say no just because that even though they may lose in this series, that lineup's kind of a perfect fit. Like I don't think they would remove KCP into what they require KCP to do there.
Yeah,
they need more of a defensive player in that backcourt with Murray. The Wolves. Let's go to the Clippers. No. Let's go. Let's go to the Clippers. Who nope. is the Clip? No, right? Too many.
Terrence Mann. I mean, but they need Terrence Mann to do what he does. Like, I don't think he would. They would add another shooting scorer into that lineup. I don't know that would be the move.
Well, I don't know what they're doing at this point, but you're right. The Mavericks. Nope. No. The Suns.
Nope. No.
The Pelicans. I get who is CJ technically their one, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then what? And they're probably going to trade Ingram, but it's Herb or it's Trey Murphy Jr. Right? And Ingram are kind of
My lean is no, unless they want to start him over CJ.
Right. Well, we've talked about CJ being like the upside comp for Tyler at some point. CJ is not the same player he was, particularly in the playoffs, but. Yeah, probably no. So what are we at in the West so far? We said
not many. Okay. Actually zero so far, I think.
Okay. Lakers.
No.
Is the comp Austin Reeves? Is that where we're going with this?
I don't think they would start him over Reeves. And they seem to like D'Lo too. Like they picked just re-signing D'Lo and Rui last year instead of going after Kyrie freaking Irving. So I think I don't know that Tyler would start over.
Well, that thinking might have changed, at least in the D'Lo part. Although he had a very good season, but then he always is good for a couple stinkers in the playoffs when it matters. When he's there. The Kings. What position are we putting Keegan Murray at?
Oh, he's a four. Or he's a three or a four for sure.
It's three, right? Okay, so then the two was Kevin Herter, right? Before he got hurt.
And then Monk.
And then Monk, who also got hurt. So I would say, really good, I would say the answer, right. But I would still take Tyler over Monk.
I would take Tyler over Monk individually, but I do think they're already like kind of, you know what I mean? Like he's already a big part of what they do. I think they really like him. And that guy is one who I think if I was a Kings fan, you could be looking at him like, okay, he could do a little bit more. Like I think he could have more responsibility than what he's had. Because it feels like a lot of times, like in their bigger games, they end up going to him more than Herter.
They do.
So my lean will be no.
Tyler's also better than Herter, so we can stop having that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Even when Herter is healthy. All right, so the Kings is maybe the first one we've gotten in the West. Maybe the Lakers. All right, Warriors. Well, Clay's not going to still be there probably, right? But
yes, that one's a little complicated. But are we just doing like what the Warriors were this season?
Yeah. I mean, they brought Clay off the bench like 2/3 of the way into the season. Clay agreed to it, right?
So you're saying like would he start over starting lineup
against the Heat?
Would he start over Pods? Right. Was that the guy that they were starting instead?
Yeah. Yeah. They went a couple of different ways where they had Looney starting, and then they kind of brought Looney off the bench, and
I think you
Draymond could, came back.
Maybe pencil him in there.
So we're talking the Lakers, Kings, and Warriors is kind of an iffy one.
I don't really even consider the Lakers there. If anything, the Thunder. I think like the Giddy thing has more of a chance, but even then, I don't really. Yeah. It might just be. I don't know, man. Like there's not much.
We just keep talking about which Kentucky guard we're going to pair him with because it feels like on all these teams, it's a Monk, it's SGA, it's Fox, it's whatever, it's some Kentucky guard. Rockets, is Dylan Brooks there too?
No, he's there. He's a forward for them.
Well, Van Vliet, and who was? Oh, Jalen Green, right?
Oh yeah, that's right, no, I don't think he would start over Jalen Green, but I don't know. You know, Ime Udoka had a weird relationship with Jalen Green throughout the season, but he really that's blew true. Up towards the end. I don't think.
Well, they've been trying to trade Jalen. We talk about a guy who's been on the trade block, but that name has been out there.
But if you just added him onto the team, if that's the exercise right now, you know, no context about how he gets there, I would say he probably still starts Jalen Green.
Jazz.
Oh, that one's tough.
Is Sexton the one?
Well, that's the thing. It depends on who they're starting. I think that was another team that had a lot of different starting lineups throughout the years. I mean, the thing is, it also depends on how they would feel about him and Keontae George together. Because I think Keontae George is probably going to be the starter.
Yeah. Oh no, he's definitely a huge part of their future.
You want to play both of them together? I don't know.
They've liked him before, though. That's another team that we've. I mean, well, Clarkson also, but Clarkson came off the bench primarily. Sexton was primarily a starter.
Yep.
I mean, the only guys who started at least 60 games were Collins up front, Markkanen up front, Sexton in the backcourt, Fontecchio, who's not there anymore. Chris Dunn started 32 games. I kind of feel like Tyler would start there. Like whatever the pieces are. Grizzlies, if healthy.
No.
I mean, GG, right? Desmond Bane. And then Jaws coming back. Yeah. Spurs? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they would pick him over Devin. But
no, they play him together.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he's starting over.
They don't have a point guard right now. Honestly, Tyler would be a better point guard than anybody they use there this year. I mean,
Trey Jones is not bad.
He's a better player than Trey Jones, though. He's a better player than Trey Jones. Okay, and then the other one was they were trying to turn Jeremy Sochin into a point guard. That was a mess. He wouldn't pass to the 7'6" guy. This is the other one. Blazers. You have to say he would start because otherwise you can't say no because the whole Cronin.
He wouldn't.
You can't.
I'm sorry. He wouldn't. He wouldn't because Cronin hates him and no, but
oh well, that's another okay, but
because of Simons and also Shaedon Sharpe, I think that's probably their backcourt of the future.
So basically, we're
really small. I don't
so
think
where are we good. At? We're at about half of the East, roughly.
I would say probably
about a quarter of the West, so maybe 10 teams,
probably 10 teams or so.
Okay,
and even then, it's not like set in stone, it's like you can make a decent case for him starting.
What do you read into that then? What's your view of it?
You don't have to be a starter to be a very valuable rotation player.
How many of those teams would Duncan start on? We're not going to go through the whole
thing. Oh God, no.
But I'm just I'm just saying, like, would it be more or less? It's I guess it depends on fit.
It would probably be less if I had to guess. Like, if I just think so without too. Looking through it, without looking through it. Yeah, I think it would probably be less. That's tough.
It's a unique situation. It's a unique situation in Miami where Duncan's role for this particular offense, I think, is more valuable than Duncan's role for a lot of other teams. And I think that Tyler kind of gets caught up in that sometimes because in that debate, because it's just because Duncan, at least analytically, seems to fit so perfectly with Bam and Jimmy that we always end up back in these conversations when the reality is if Duncan was somewhere else with Tyler, probably Tyler would be the strong lean as the starter. It's just here. It's just here. Like, this is a sort of a uniquely Miami conversation on this. And again, that's the context that doesn't get put into it. And I think where Pat was coming in here was, again, like we were talking about games and stuff, is I think they wanted one last chance to kind of see it all this year. And they just never, we just never really saw it when it mattered. I mean, there was some sample size, but it was really small. And then the clutch sample size was minuscule. Like, there really was not a lot. And that's where the three of them would have played together all the time, regardless of whether Tyler started or not. And again, we just didn't get to see it. And this time it was, again, Tyler kind of out there on his own with Bam in the playoffs and really as the only perimeter who could create anything. And that's the, you know, that's kind of why he got swamped there. And so I do think, again, context and nuance are important. But I think this also gets into, you know, we don't want to make this just a trade. We're not talking about this, okay, the trade machine type stuff. I just wanted to kind of see, all right, where would Tyler's value be in the league and what teams, like, would he be slam dunk starters for? And again, it seems like maybe 10 teams, okay, that he would, you know, be a starter for. And look, that's...
He would probably be a rotation player for just about every team, but team would trade for him, you know?
No, he would be a rotation player for every team in the league. Yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. He would be for a six-man probably for... Probably the rest of 10 of the 20 teams, at least, that we're saying he likely wouldn't be a starter for, right?
Yeah, so pretty much whoever doesn't have somebody of that mold already. But regardless, right. It's like, if you're just talking about adding somebody, again, not talking about trade machine, none of that, he would absolutely play. But again, that doesn't mean that they're going to be willing to trade for him. But there could be a market, right? If, like, from this exercise, like, there could be a market, right? If they really wanted to go that route. I don't know that they'll go that route.
No, the two teams that, as we close this here, the two teams that have always kind of popped back up here as natural fits that at least I've heard inklings of interest of over the past year are Brooklyn and San Antonio. Those are the two teams that it's like, okay, in San Antonio, honestly, he might lead them in scoring. Probably would, actually, him or Vassell. Because I don't know. Maybe behind Victor? No, but I kind of feel like Victor does so many other things that they can lean into. But yes, sometimes you throw the lob to the 7-6 guy, which is what the Spurs didn't want to do all last season. So we'll see. And he's going to come back another kind of monster this year also. But anyway, Wemby talk for another day. Thanks for joining us here today. Look, I hope this was in some way balanced and educational on this topic because I can't do the Twitter thing anymore. I just can't. It's just like there's just irrational people on both sides of this debate. And I to say that Tyler's not a good player is ridiculous. But also some of the stuff on the other side where if you're even slightly, you know, constructively critical, then, you know, they're calling you all sorts of names. That's also, you know, it's gotten completely out of control. And I think honestly, he's paid the price for, you know, some of the standing and on the other side, the ridiculous, relentless negativity. And it's just, at this point, I'm over it. So we thought we would handle this a different way. All right, we'll be back with more podcasts over the rest of the week. Thanks to Alex. Thanks to our sponsors, Autograph. Check out the Autograph app. Use the code 5, FIVE. Same code 5 for PrizePicks. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.